todolisthome.com. Welcome. I'm your humble host, Tony Teolis, and I'm keeping track of things to do around the home. This is episode 1 of the To Do List Home podcast, coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others to follow can be found at todolisthome.com. That introductory music is Blue Devil Plane, brought to you by danosongs.com. Visit danosongs.com and help keep free music flowing on the web. The song of the day is Release by the German band Seed. That's with 3 E's. Have a listen at amazon.com or iTunes. The link can be found in the show notes. What drives this? There are so many things to do each day in addition to my work and family responsibilities that I needed a better way of tracking my chores around the home and evaluating them. Learning and improving self-sufficiency and self-reliance to help build community sufficiency and reliance. Retiring at age 55 or younger. And thesurvivalpodcast.com. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad or even if they don't. The more we unshackle ourselves from complex systems, the greater the liberty we enjoy in our lives. It's very hard to do this, but with baby steps, the trail begins. As I mentioned earlier, there are so many things to do each day. Today is a Saturday, and I am looking at my to-do list. And on top of helping to see the children off to Japanese school early in the morning, walking the dog, exercising, I'm looking at my to-do list for the rest of the day, and I don't quite know how it'll get done, but what needs to get done gets done in the time that I have. I have to look at tickets for the Further Festival. I have to think about air travel or bus travel for my brother to visit. I have to fix my bike. I have to play my son in a game of chess. We have movie night lined up tonight, and we've been too busy to have that for a while, and tonight hopefully we'll watch Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy. I have to clean my dog's ears. I have to walk the dog. I have to repot, because they're already sprouting very fine, my chives and my bunching onions, or the long green onions. I have to repot them into potting mix soil. I have to update my music collection. I have to do web research on some other things regarding my yard and my bee yard design. I've got a soggy area in my yard, and how am I going to make that less soggy over time? I'm going to try to find some permaculture techniques to help me with those couple of questions. I have to make pizza from scratch. I've already got the dough made and rising. Put out my my sprouts. I'm doing another bunch of sprouts that I'm growing in the kitchen. And I've already done my yoga as well this morning. So as you can see, it's quite a busy day. It's already 2:30 in the afternoon, and that list isn't even half done. But I wanted to talk about one of my chores for the day, and the way these shows will begin is I'll start off with a today's gardening chore. And the 2011 spring gardening has already begun for me here in Northern Virginia. Although the temperature is still hovering around 30 degrees Fahrenheit these days, and the nights are a little cooler, spring will soon be upon us, and plants must be ready to go into the ground. At this part of the show, I'll just give a brief outline of what I'm doing for spring gardening right now. On February 13th, I sowed bunching onions and chive seeds in vermiculite. I let them soak in water and placed them in the upstairs bedroom, the warmest room in the house. On February 20th, after sprouts started to rise, I moved the tray to under their lighting system. And today's chore, as I mentioned earlier, is to transplant them to a mixture of one part vermiculite, one part peat moss, and one part compost, better known as Mel's Mix. Mel Bartholomew of Square Foot Gardening fame. More about him in episode 2. On my to-do list today is fixing my bike. I'll talk a little bit about the work I need to do to bring it up to a better performance level. More importantly, I'll talk about owning a bike and maintaining it as an alternative means of transportation. The type of bike I have is a Jamis road bike. I picked it up through an ad on Craigslist going on 4 years ago now. And this is the third bike since I moved back here to America almost 8 years ago. And it's a road bike. It's very comfortable for riding on rough terrain as well as the open road. What I need to do on my bike is I need to clean the chain, change the tires, the tubes, replace the brakes. And I have all the parts now. The last set of parts came in yesterday. I got my parts from Amazon.com, which I have found to be one of the best suppliers of basically anything you may need for your jobs around the home and for your consumption purposes. I'm not very big on consumption at all. More about that later, but I am big on saving money. And when you order through Amazon, there is no tax. Well, what we need to look at is Amazon is a great resource, and typically you can get free shipping if you're willing to wait about a week for your order to arrive. So I never seem to be in too much of a rush for the things that I need to help me maintain stuff around the home. What I received was a grunge chain cleaner tool, two sets of brakes, two tires, two tubes, and some cleaning fluid. And what I'll need to do is take the tires off, replace them, especially the rear one has worn down. The brakes have worn down completely on the front set. One of the most important things about riding a bike is bike safety, and you can't have bike safety with poor bike maintenance. It's always a pleasure to work on my bike. I take a little pride in being able to do it myself. I've taken my bike to a performance bike shop in the past here in Fairfax, Virginia, and through some conversation with the person working on my bike a couple of different times and watching them carefully and asking questions, I learned how to do pretty much the basic things I need to do for my bike. I think my only problem with being able to be the reason I'm not self-sufficient in taking care of my bike completely is I'm missing a couple of key tools. They haven't been worth the investment yet. We'll see if they'll be worth the investment later. But another thing that I picked up was a spare chain from Amazon, as well as a chain tool, which is very important when you're putting on a chain, taking off a chain. So with minor investment in tools and parts and cleaning materials, you can maintain, as I do, your bike for less than $100 every 2 years. And that's very reasonable for the amount of money that I save in parking costs, in gasoline costs, and costs for taxes, registrations, and inspections, not to mention the regular maintenance of a vehicle, insurance, and one more, which is quite key, whenever that scary check engine light comes on, it doesn't happen on a bike. As for how to do the maintenance on your bike, I am no expert, nor do I pretend to be, and what I recommend is the internet as a resource for just about anything you need to do regarding how to fix your bike. That's where I've got most of my information, and the things that I'm doing aren't very complicated at all. As I mentioned, I need to change the tires, the tubes. Eventually I'll change the chain. I'm just going to clean it today. I need to change the brakes. So the important thing is having the right set of tools to go ahead and take off the various parts of the braking system and the tire system, but it's all rather easy. But I do have to do it today. I'll be a little safer as a result of that. I'd like to explain why I bike. My main intention is not for health reasons or saving the environment or anything like that. I just like the convenience of being able to hop on early in the morning, get to my bus stop, lock my bike up. I ride a bus and then that takes me to a train station and I'm at my office within an hour of the time I've left my house. It's very convenient. I don't have to mess with traffic. I've got an easier commute now with a bike than I used to. I used to have a three-mile bike commute over some busy roads, and as a result of traffic not being cooperative at all, I was forced to ride on sidewalks quite a bit before a couple years ago when I moved to a different neighborhood. So my bike commute right now, early in the morning, there's not much traffic I have to contend with. One major intersection, but I always make sure I've got the right-of-way. The signal is in my favor. I'm very well lit up, reflective, always on the alert. As I mentioned earlier, the bike I currently have is a Jamis road bike. I got it from a person that I found through Craigslist, which I recommend because, one, again, there's no taxes you pay. There's no high indoor store costs that you have to take on either. And typically, when you find a bike on Craigslist, you'll find one for a variety of reasons, and they're usually in pretty good shape. Nobody's really going to sell you a clunker bike that needs too much work and ask too much money for it. If they do, then this is where your negotiation skills need to be brushed up, because anything that you're picking up from another person on Craigslist for at least over $100 for any type of road bike, dirt bike, something like that, should not require immediate maintenance. It should be in more or less ready-to-ride condition. I paid $175 for my bike in cash, and typically if I went to pick it up and pay for it at a store, Performance Bicycle here in Fairfax would have cost me no less than $350, maybe more. So the savings right there is just incredible, and it's been a great bike, knock on wood. When I first moved to America 8 years ago, I picked up a brand new dirt bike at Performance Bicycle. I paid about $325 for it. It was a great bike. Unfortunately, I did not take great care in having the most secure lock for it. And one day from the metro station, it was stolen from me. Very sad. Fortunately, I had another bike that I had purchased while I was on vacation in the States, but still living in Japan 1 year, and it was hardly ridden, and it was a cheaper bike. I'd picked it up at a store in my hometown for about $200, and it lasted approximately 2 years here for me, so that was not a very good or wise investment. Being on vacation, I didn't have a lot of time to be too choosy back in, I believe it was 2000 when I picked that bike up. And by 2007, it was no longer in rideable condition, and I'd only started ride it in late 2005. My third bike was the Jamis, and so far it's been good. I may end up getting another bike as a spare in the future, and I will refer to Craigslist to do so. Getting a bike is the first step. Now that you have a bike, the next important step is to be safe. It can't be underestimated, especially here in the DC metro area, that bicyclists are clearly outnumbered, and there is no empathy for bicyclists on the road by other vehicles, especially the large vehicles, SUVs, trucks, whatever, and I own an SUV as well, but the difficulty is you have to assume you are invisible to every driver out there, period. And that's not difficult to get around to. You want to feel like you have the right of way, but you're on a bike, be smart, be safe. So I'd like to refer you to BicycleSafe.com, prepared and presented by Michael Bluejay. That's BicycleSafe.com. On that link, you'll find 10 ways not to get hit, and that's very important. You do not want to get hit. There are 10 different types of collisions that occur for bicyclists, and in the end, approximately 1 in every 41 fatal car crash, 1 in every 41 fatal car crash is a bicyclist. So out of 33,000 people dying in car crashes every year, one in 41 of those is a bicyclist. A couple of things to keep in mind when you're riding your bike to be safe is to avoid busy streets. Only crossing on the busiest streets is better rather than traveling on them. Being lit up, okay? And you know what I mean out there. Being lit up. So it's not only obvious for the nighttime riding, but it's also very important for the daytime riding. Having the red blinker lights in the front and in the back are very important. Anything you can do to make yourself a little more visible. Always wearing yellow, not just in the morning and evenings when it's darker, but always wearing something yellow and reflective. You also want to try to take up the whole lane when appropriate, and let cars rather follow you, or you be in the middle of a couple of cars rather than being on the end. This prevents cars from passing you too closely on narrow roadways. And riding to the left a bit also prevents you from being a victim of the door prize. You especially want to be careful in traffic circles. That's especially important here in Washington, D.C. And you also want to make sure that when you're in heavy traffic area with lots of side streets and parking lots and driveways ahead, that you are in the middle of the road, not to the extreme edge of the road. You always want to be careful about cars passing you too closely and cars that are parked on the right-hand side of the road, because you want to be careful when passing them on the left, you don't get the door prize. So, few simple tips like that. Another one is signaling your turn. I prefer to stick my left arm out all the way or my right arm out all the way to make a left or right signal for when I'm turning. The way that we were taught, when you tilt your right arm up at an angle that's perpendicular to your forearm and your bicep, a lot of drivers don't know what the heck that means. So I prefer to signal right, signal left, arm fully extended. That seems to be a kind of a universal way of putting your intentions out to the people around you, the drivers around you. Another thing is very important is rethink the music player and mobile phone on your bike. Not needed, not necessary, not ever. And, as I mentioned earlier, ride as if you were invisible. As we used to say in the Army, stay alert, stay alive. And now that we got through those initial safety tips, what I'd like to explain is the importance of having a very good U-lock and a cable to go with it if necessary. Prevent theft. It's out there. Secure your bike, secure your tires, keep your investment safe. Again, the savings. What do I save by not having a second car that I would have to be responsible for? I save on insurance. I save on inspections. I save on taxes. I save on regular maintenance. I save on that dreaded check engine light. Enough said. The benefits? Well, there is an obvious health benefit to it. But at the same time, there's a certain sense of freedom that comes with having a bike. I very rarely am ever riding around looking for a parking space for my bike. I never really have to beep at another person for taking my bicycle parking space. That's a big benefit for me. Helps my day move along smooth. My morning commute is very fluid. I'm in constant motion. The bike helps to keep that motion uninterrupted. So that's today's episode. I gotta get to and do what I just described on my bike. Some of the other topics I'll be covering for my home to-do list include buying a home, the things I do to maintain it, planning for my gardening activities, planning for my honeybees, that's right, honeybees, exercising, taking care of the dog, living in Japan, fishing, because fishing must be on your to-do list, and a host of other things I do around the home to make it reliable and sufficient. That's it for today. Now go and do something useful.